That sin that you've been battling with, are you content to pray, Lord, take it away? Are you content to go on making excuses? Oh, it's so hard, you know. Are you content to whinge about how troublesome it is? And maybe I need counselling to help me with that one. Well, here's some counselling for you. Kill it. Kill it. Kill it. A problem we all have, every Christian, even the Apostle Paul, battled with this one. It's the problem of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. That's how Paul put it in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. The Spirit, your born again Spirit, the new you, loves God and wants to do what's good. But the flesh, that big lump of meat you need to live in and are stuck with for now, always wants to sin. And it's a constant battle. But Paul has been telling us about five amazing things that are also true of every Christian. You're born again. You do have that new spiritual nature that loves God and loves His ways. God's Holy Spirit dwells in you to lead you and to empower you. You belong to Jesus and nothing can ever change that. One day you'll leave the flesh behind and your spirit will live on forever. And that will be the problem of the flesh fully dealt with. That's when the battle will be over. But for now, the battle still rages. The flesh still lusts against the Spirit, and its influence is strong. It's very strong. And we still do things we don't want to do, and we still don't do the things we do want to do. What are we to do about that? And that's the question Paul is addressing in the verses we've come to in our study of his epistle to the Romans. Romans 8, verses 12 to 14. You remember we began to look at them last week, and they're very important verses. They deal with a very important issue, one that's of practical concern for all of us. So we're taking our time. We're coming back to the same verses this week, and we'll be looking at them again next week. So let me remind you of them. Romans 8, verses 12 to 14. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Therefore, brothers and sisters, he says, because of these five amazing things that are true of every believer, you don't owe the flesh anything. You're under no obligation to it. When it tries to impose its self-seeking influence, when it tries to pull you into its sinful ways, you don't have to go along with it. There's no such thing as a sin you have to do. You owe the flesh nothing. And what's more, Paul tells us here, people who do go on giving into the flesh cannot be sure that they're Christians at all, because real Christians don't do that. That's what he meant when he said, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. It's that serious. Every time you face the choice, flesh or spirit, will I follow the desires of the flesh or will I be led by the Spirit? Will I sin or will I not sin? every time you face that decision, it's a matter of life or death. It really is that serious. And that's the point we came to last week, and I left you with a question to think about. How serious are you about being done with sin? Is it really life and death for you? If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But there is an alternative to living according to the flesh. You're not under obligation to it. You don't have to give in to it. There's an alternative. And it's that alternative that we're going to focus on this morning. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, first, let's be clear what we're talking about. It says, put to death the deeds of the body. Not the body, its deeds. So Paul isn't talking about killing yourself. And neither is he talking about inflicting pain or some other form of physical suffering on your body in what would be a pointless attempt to weaken it or to subdue its influence. He's not talking about hair shirts or self-flagellation, just in case you were thinking of going home and whipping yourself or taking a cold shower or something. You see, you have to live in your body. And with all its faults, it's still the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you ought to look after it and keep it in good shape. But maybe that's a message for another day. The point for now is, what you have to put to death is the deeds of the body. Don't follow those who mistakenly think this is about subduing your body with physical torture. The deeds of the body. Those things that your body, your flesh, leads you to do. That's what Paul's talking about. And we can get a good idea of the kind of things he has in mind from Galatians 5. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Now, two things to say about that list. The first one is, don't just focus on what you consider to be the gross sins. Most people do when they read that list. It's not a list of the kind of sins other people do and that you would never think or dream of doing. Because you see, in there are things like contentions, arguing, debating, falling out with people, jealousy, envy, selfish ambitions, and idolatry. There's a pretty broad one. Idolatry is putting anyone or anything ahead of God, and hands up who hasn't done that this week. The other thing to note about this list is that it's not a complete list. It's a list of examples. You see how Paul ends it with the words, and the like. So when he says, put to death the deeds of the body or the flesh, it's the same thing. What he's talking about is sin. He's talking about all kinds of sin, big sins and not so big sins, every kind of sin, sinful deeds that have their origin in the flesh. And every sin you commit does have its origin in your flesh. I mean, where else could it come from? It doesn't come from your spirit, because your spirit loves God and loves his ways, remember? And sin doesn't come from anything outside of you. Some people think other people made me do it. You'll hear them saying, he made me, you made me, they made me. Come on, you don't even believe your children when they say that. Nobody can make you sin. Some people will say, the devil made me do it. Don't be daft. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The devil can't make you do anything. He can tempt you. He can play on your desires, and he does that at every opportunity. He can appeal to your flesh, but he can't make you do anything. You always have the option to say no to him. And some people will even say, God made me do it, which of course is more than daft. It's just plain stupid. James has something to say about that in James chapter 1. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But note this, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So, every sin you do has its origin in your flesh. The desires of the flesh, its impulses, its appetites, its wants, its cravings, influenced in turn by its hormones or the state of its health or its moods, the desires of the flesh. Also, the habits of the flesh. Those patterns of behavior that have been ground in over years of practice to the point where they've become second nature. Habits of the flesh. And the mind of the flesh, thought patterns, ways of thinking that have been shaped and influenced by the world you live in and grew up in and the way it has been taught to see and understand things. And attitudes. The mind of the flesh then, and Paul has already told us, the mind of the flesh is enmity against God. Every sin you do has its origin in the flesh, in its desires, in its habits, in its way of thinking. And that's what you're up against, and that's what you've got to put to death. When Paul says, put to death the deeds of the body, that's what he's talking about. Sin, sinful deeds that have their origin in your flesh. Well then, how are you to do it? How do you put the deeds of the body to death? Well, I've got some suggestions for you. I think there are 8 of them. First, you've got to remember that it's not easy to kill anything. You'd be surprised how difficult it can be. You've got to be determined. You've got to be ruthless, you've got to be aggressive, you've got to get violent. And you've got to put a great deal of effort into it. If you want to kill someone, you can't just say to them, go and lie down and die and expect them to do it. You can't just say, go away, I don't like you. And yet many of us take that less than half-hearted approach to putting our sins to death, don't you? We'll complain about our sins. We'll whinge and whine about our sins. We'll protest about our sins. We'll say we don't want to do them. We'll talk about them like we think we should get some sympathy because we have these awful sins to contend with. But we're not really out to kill them. That's why some of us are still living with the same old sins that we were doing years ago. If you want to put a sin to death, you have to hate it. This is life or death. It's you or the sin. One of you is going to die. You've got to be that determined. You've got to be ready to fight aggressively, and you've got to get violent. That's the first thing. Be determined to put those sins to death. Do you have that determination? That sin that you've been battling with all this time, is that how you see it? Are you really out to kill it? Or are you just content to pray, Lord, take it away? Are you content to go on making excuses? Oh, it's so hard, you know. Are you content to whinge about how troublesome it is? And maybe I need counseling to help me with that one. Well, here's some counseling for you. Kill it. Kill it. Kill it. That's the first thing about putting to death the deeds of the body. You need to have determination. You've got to get violent. Here's some more counseling. The second thing, identify the sins you want to deal with specifically. Name them and get to understand their ways. You see, the flesh is tricky. A lot of the time it plays on habit. We've talked about habit before. You know what habit is. It's something you've practiced to the point where it becomes second nature to you. You have it programmed into your flesh and it just kind of happens before you know what's happening. The nature of habit is that more often than not, you'll do it before you've thought. So you've got to identify that sin. Be aware of it, be watching out for it, and be ready for it. Look for patterns in it. What is it that provokes it? When are you most likely to be caught out by it? Can you anticipate it? Because most of the time you can when these sin habits come up. You could anticipate when they're going to come up. When can you expect it to grab you? Is it when you're alone? Is it when you're bored? Is it when you're walking through Dunn's? Is it when you're browsing the internet? Name that sin and learn all you can about it so that you can be ready when the habit starts to kick in, or even cut it off before the habit kicks in. And you can do that with all kinds of sin. There are habits of behavior. There are sinful thought patterns like worry, anxiety, anger. There are attitudes that have got ground in over the years, attitudes like bitterness or resentment or a sense of entitlement or a sense of superiority. Attitudes to yourself and other people, attitudes about money, moodiness, all kinds of sins. I can't list them all. You think about it, but identify your sins. Name them and know their tricks. Call them out. I'm gunning for you, you despicable sin, you. That should be the attitude toward it. You're dead. I'm going to kill you. So be determined. Identify your sins as specifically as you can and understand their ways. And when you've identified them, bop them on the head every time they move. Don't allow them any exercise. That's the third thing. The slightest hint of that sin and you should be all over it to kill it. You give that sin the least opportunity, you give in to it once and it's going to get stronger. Don't fall for that. Don't be saying, sure, once won't hurt anybody. That's a lie. Don't be fooled by it just a little bit and then I'll stop. Doesn't work that way. You want to kill that sin, so don't let it have any exercise. Don't let it move. Don't even let it flex its muscles. Allow it no excuses. Number four, don't make excuses for it. Sure, it doesn't do any harm. I didn't mean to do it. I did it for the right reason. I'm depressed. I'm not well. It's my hormones. Whatever. You know the excuses you make. Stop it. Don't make excuses. And number five, if you're determined to kill that sin, don't invest in it. Galatians 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh of the flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Make no provision for it. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts, Paul says here. In other words, don't feed it. If your problem is, let's say, a tendency to gossip, well then don't spend time with other people who gossip. And don't read those trashy, gossip-filled newspapers. If you have a tendency to anger and bitterness, why do you watch those TV programs that are all about finding fault and placing blame? They only fire you up and get you angry. They only wind you up. They're not teaching you gentleness and submissiveness. And that stuff about rights and entitlements that you like to read and hear, what's that feeding? And why do you spend so much time with other angry people? If you struggle with sexual desire, why do you feed it with those images? Now that stuff you're watching on TV might not, strictly speaking, be pornography. No, but what about the thoughts it stirs up, boys? Are they pornographic? If you're thinking about sex and relationships is all screwed up, and it is if you have a liking for daydreaming about relationships that a Christian ought not to get into. Well then, why do you feed that wrong thinking about sex and relationships with music or books or company that's full of the wrong attitudes? Again, I can't come up with all the examples. I can only ask the question. that sin that you've identified, you say you're determined to kill it, but are you feeding it? Make sure you don't. Number six, if you want to put a sin to death, don't encourage it. Be determined, be ruthlessly determined. Identify that sin as specifically as you can and understand its ways. Allow it no excuses. Stop making excuses for it. Don't make provision for it. Don't feed it. And number six, don't encourage it. Avoid the temptation whenever you can is really what I'm getting at here. If there are certain places that stir up your flesh, then you probably shouldn't go there. If a walk around the shopping centre is a big problem for you, if you know it's going to stir up the green-eyed monster, well, it's not sinful to go to the shopping centre, but you might be wise to stay out of it. If the smell of drink starts you craving, then why do you go to the pub? It's not sinful to go to pubs. Nobody can say it is. It's no more sinful than going to the shopping centre. But if the smell of drink starts you craving, then stay away from the smell of drink. If boredom and loneliness is what brings you down, don't spend a lot of time on your own. If TV stirs up the flesh to sin, it's not wrong to have a TV, but maybe you should get rid of yours. If certain sinful people cause you a serious problem, then maybe you should leave it to somebody else to witness to them and you avoid their company as much as you can. I'll say it again, I'm only giving you examples. You need to think about it and how it all applies to you. But are you getting the idea? That sin that you say you're out to kill, where and when are you most tempted? When is it, or what is it that you're usually doing when you're tempted? You've worked that out, you've named the sin and you've identified its patterns, so maybe there are some places and activities that are not necessarily sinful in themselves, but you need to stay clear of them because they're stirring up that sin that you want to put to death. You've determined to put it to death, but this place or these people stir it up. Again, a couple of comments that I think I need to throw in here because there's sometimes a bit of confusion on this point. First of all, I'm not saying that you should avoid every temptation. Well, you can't do that, for one thing. The problem is in your flesh. It's not out there in the world. And even if you could hide away from the world, you can't run away from your flesh. It's still there. Wherever you go or don't go, or whatever you do or don't do, or whoever you associate with or don't associate with, there are always going to be temptations that will appeal to those desires and habits of your flesh. You can't avoid that. You'll find a million temptations in church. That's probably where I find most of mine, and I'm sure that's got you wondering. All I'm saying is if your flesh is giving you a particularly hard time in certain situations, then don't give it unnecessary opportunities. If you're determined to kill the deeds of the flesh that you've identified as being a problem for you, then don't take those deeds into their natural environment where they're going to thrive. Do you see the sense of that? Hope so. But it doesn't mean that you should avoid the world altogether. You have to talk to sinful people if you want to tell them about Jesus. If you want to talk to sinful people, you have to go where sinful people go. You shouldn't be so much in fear of temptation that you try to withdraw from the world altogether, and you don't have to. Remember, you've got armor to put on. Spiritual armor, it's strong, and you have the Holy Spirit with you to help you and protect you, and you have Jesus holding you fast in his hand, never to let you go. But at the same time, and this is the other comment I want to throw in, there is a kind of cockiness that's all too prevalent these days, I think, especially among younger people. Cockiness that says, don't tell me where I can go or can't go. Me and the Holy Spirit, we can handle it. Well, maybe you can, but what I'm saying is be careful. Don't underestimate the flesh. Don't underestimate how powerful its influences can be or how easily it can be stirred up. There are some places you must go, yes, and there are some people that you must spend time with. But at least remember, you're doing a dangerous thing. When you're out there with ungodly people, when you're out there in situations that stir up those sinful desires in you, you're doing a dangerous thing. You're at risk of stirring up the flesh, and you don't want to do that unnecessarily. You need to keep your armor on, and you need to be sure you're walking in the Spirit. So go fearfully, go carefully. Don't just go lightly, just for the fun of it. Anyway, that came out of number 6, I think. If you want to put a sin to death, don't encourage it. So what have we got so far? Put the sinful deeds of the flesh to death. Be determined and ruthless. Identify those sins specifically. Allow them no exercise. Don't make excuses for them. Don't feed them. Don't encourage them. Number 7, get help if you need it. Get help if you need it. Find somebody who can help you put all of this into practice. Maybe help you to identify those patterns that we've talked about. Maybe somebody who can hold you accountable for how you behave. Get help if you need it. You see, we all have that battle with the flesh on our hands. There's none of us who's any different. Don't think that you're worse than somebody else because there's a particular sin that you struggle with. And don't be ashamed to ask. That sin that you're struggling to kill, do you really think you're the only one? Don't be daft. Do you really think that your flesh has come up with something original? Of course it hasn't. We all struggle with similar or the same sins. And number 8, persevere. Don't give up easily. If when you think those sins are finally dead and they try to get up again, come back at them even harder and keep coming back and don't give up. There's no such thing as a sin that can't be put to death. Do you realize that? No such thing as a sin that can't be put to death. God's word tells us that we'll not be perfect or without sin until we've left the flesh behind and get to heaven. And that's true. We'll never be free of sin until we get to heaven and have our new bodies. But with regard to individual specific sins, the Bible is very optimistic. Your spirit, indwelt and empowered by God's Holy Spirit, you are stronger than that sin, and you can win. And I can say that because it's true of every Christian. You're born again. You have a new spiritual nature that loves God and loves His ways, and God's Holy Spirit lives within you to lead you and to empower you. And as Paul said in Romans 6, remember, sin shall not have dominion over you. But there's more to be said. We've only looked at part of what Paul has to say. Remember, he said, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And so far, we've left out 3 very important words, haven't we? If by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Well, we're going to save those 3 words for next week. You'll be glad to hear. What does it mean to put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit? But we'll just finish here for now. Just before we do, here's this week's question to take away with you. I've been trying to give you one every week recently. Last week I asked you to think, how serious are you about being done with sin? Is it really life and death for you? Well, this week I want you to think about this. What are you doing to put to death those sins that you have struggled with for so long? Are you really out to kill them? Are you ruthlessly determined? Have you identified them specifically and called them out by name? Have you learned to understand their ways? Are you depriving them of every possible opportunity to exercise themselves? Have you stopped making excuses for them? Are you careful not to feed them and not to encourage them in any way? Have you asked for help? And do you persevere? What are you doing to put to death those sins that you've struggled with for so long? Are you really out to kill them? Well, it's life or death. kill them, or they could kill you. Let's pray. Father, grant to each one of us that holy determination to put to death those sins that trouble us. Put into each of us a holy zeal for purity, for righteousness, so that we might be more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.